As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Monday, Moonday, October the 4th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Very interesting broadcast for you today. We're going to go into the Book of Enoch like some do and some haven't. But anyway, we've got a little bit of news. I'm going to get into just very little news today. I want to give most of the broadcast off to our discussion. But if you can't recall the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, there might be reasons why. And I think you're in the right place this morning at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where we're going to flex our philosophically radical muscles today. Freedom is popular here and remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access, or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email. Always appreciate receiving your email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, out of Post Office Box 96, Exeter, Missouri 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Missouri 65647. Big shout out, as we love to do each and every morning, to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM Lompoc, California, AM 10, AM 1710, Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Excuse me while I get my voice straightened out for this morning. Hard to go from that solitary monk to the talk radio guy in 30 seconds or less. Our listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. Gold this morning traverses a narrow band above $1,300. Silver remains near $22. We'll talk about that in our market report. Top news headliners offer no hope for change. We're not going to spend much time with the news this morning. Jesse Ventura gets it, however. We'll talk about that briefly. Today's topic will be the Book of Enoch, Jewish apocryphal writings, cult followings, and much more. Of course, we will take your calls throughout the broadcast again at 866-841-1065. Let's get our market report for this morning. As of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but an hour ago, we find gold trading down $5.20 an ounce at $1,013.40. Silver off 11 cents, just below that $22 mark at $21.98. Platinum off $8 at $1,667. Palladium off $10 at $563 a troy ounce. Excuse me again. Kind of got to get all that stuff going in the right places. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning: $1,311.50 for a low, $1,320.80 for a high. It's a pretty nice spread in there, about $9, but it's relatively tight, and it's been staying there all over the weekend and on Friday as well. But at $1,313.40, your gold is actually up $313.60 year to year for a 31.36% return on your investment. The boys in London this morning, the London Bullion Market Association, the AM Price Fixers, set the price at $1,316. You can see we're $3 below that now. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Much more to come today.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in mini bug-out bags. Perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel?
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Moonday, October the 4th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts. Let's go back into our market report and discuss the last of this little bit. Again, we find gold trading off $5.20 as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time in New York City at $1,313.40 an ounce. Silver off 11 cents at $21.98, cruising just below that $22 level. Platinum off $8 at $1,667. Palladium down 10 at $563 a troy ounce. The SPDR gold shares overnight paired off 2.44 metric tons. They claim this morning to be holding 1,302.34 metric tons in their holdings at $55.1 billion. The Dow Jones Industrial Average on Friday closed up 42 at 10,830. The NASDAQ closed up two at 2371, and the S&P 500 closed up 5 at 1,146. Crude oil this morning off 9 cents a barrel at 81.49. Now again, well above $80 a barrel. Just like the prognosticators said, you know, that's the way they go, a rigged market. You know, right where they're going, when they're going to be there, and they make the numbers work that way, and they did. Crude oil up this morning 9 cents at $81.49, just in time for the heating oil season. Going to rape you once again. The U.S. dollar index up 33 basis points at 78.37, still not high enough to be happy, but nevertheless on an upward trend. That impacts the foreign exchange rates, where we find the Canadian loonie and everything else down today except the British pound. But the Canadian loonie off 27 basis points at 97 cents U.S., The Mexican peso drops 40 basis points, yet still trades at 8 cents U.S. The euro off 88 basis points, a big move, almost a 1% move there for the euro, and yet it still exchanges against the U.S. dollar at $1.37. The British pound, the only one in our chart that moves up this morning, up 13 basis points at $1.59. And our Swiss franc off 12 basis points, and yet still above parity now with the U.S. dollar at $1.03 U.S. The bond market this morning, the two-year bond, the yield on the U.S. Treasury, 0.41%. The 10-year is at 2.49, and the 30 at 3.71%. In the mortgage markets, we see a continuation of the downward trend in the 15-year and an upward trend in the 30. The 15-year moves down from 3.85% to 3.84% this morning, and the 30-year moves up from 4.33% to 4.47%. And, of course, the prime rate stands at 3.25%. Lots of news out there that we could report on, went through very carefully, and I can tell you that we haven't been struck by Nibiru, the Martians haven't landed on the planet Earth, and so I guess it's pretty safe that we can go on into something else today besides the news. This sent to us by a listener, Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory raises further questions. I have mixed feelings about Jesse Ventura. I think he's a pro wrestler. I think that he's willing to compromise his principles for relationship. Anybody that's got the most money will get his attention, but I might be mistaken in that. Former pro wrestler, this off of the USA Today, former pro wrestler turned Minnesota governor, Jesse Ventura is eager for the second season of Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura to begin, blah, blah, blah. I hope you don't waste your time with television, folks. It really is a colossal waste of your time. But that's because he gets to examine one of his favorite conspiracies, JFK's assassination. And I hope he takes the time before he begins this expose of his to read the writings of Michael Collins Piper, but he probably won't. We'll see. A little bit more on this. Just because Ventura 59 has traded his political career for the life of a TV personality doesn't mean he's any less opinionated. You know, and opinions are like elbows. We're all born with more than one. They're easily bent to suit whatever purpose is at hand. But self-described watchdog of the government, he wades right into volatile topics, including the controversy over the potential building of an Islamic center near Ground Zero. It's ridiculous. This is a quote. It's ridiculous. Would there be an uproar if it was a Catholic church? Well, that's certainly politically correct of you, Jesse. We didn't say it wouldn't be an uproar if it was a synagogue. But it's a much ado about nothing, he says. Continuing, what is of much more importance to him is why religious organizations don't pay property taxes, so on and so forth. Down a little bit further, he says here, in fact, Ventura, who ran as an independent and a member of the Reform Party, says he's no longer even into that. I do not support the third-party movement anymore. Apparently, he's been listening to Become Vocal Local. He says, quote, I now advocate the abolishment of all political parties. We've allowed the parties to take over government. So he's on board, I guess, with our idea here of the abolition of the established two-party political system. And I hope he will follow through on all of that. I've just about exhausted my interest in the news. Let's go into something more interesting. I want to start out a discussion. I've been asked a couple of times to go into this. Generally, I don't consider this to be a ministry, but this is historical information, and I think it's useful for us to understand some of the stuff that's out there, and particularly some of the various and sundries that many people flock to at times of upheaval like this. And this is the stuff of the apocalypse, if you will. Now, I call it a pack of lies, but it is an apocalypse nonetheless. There are very, very many religious sects that have sprung up over the years. And let's just start right into the encyclopedia. We're going to do a lot of encyclopedia study today, tomorrow, perhaps the next day as well. And if that bores you, then, you know, you need to find something more enlightening, like, you know, AM radio or FM radio. Religious sects, from the earliest days of the world's history, man has been more or less a religious creature. And there's a reason for that. You know, The world is filled with wonders, and every morning is a wonderful thing. And you wake up in the morning, and it's just unbelievable. You know, you crawl out of your hidey-ho or your little straw bed or whatever you happen to be covered up in. You're thankful that you didn't get killed by a saber-toothed tiger overnight. And you go outside and you do your butterflies welcome spring exercises, piss in a bush, and, you know, get on with your day. Brew up a pot of coffee and go look for something to kill. But anyway, that's the way man lives, all right? So almost invariably, he has had a god or several of them to whom he looked for protection. And that goes back as early as you can go. And you can find in our archives, go all the way back to our study of world history with Edward McNall Burns, The History of Civilizations, and you'll find that we come into this time period, especially in the East, of the Oriental despotisms. And unfortunately for man, the Oriental despotisms have held sway over religious thought for about 3,500, almost 4,000 years. At times, these gods have been crude fetishes. And that's an important word, because when we understand what Auguste Comte was saying in his Catechism of the Positive Religion, his universal religion of humanity, as we transition fully into this positive stage of human existence, where we leave behind all things theological and the rulership of priests and priest kings, we move into the metaphysical time period, the rise of statism and the Enlightenment, then we move into the positive stage, the final stage of human development, we will find we will be overwhelmed with fetishes and fetishism, and boy, do we see that today. Now we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Self-expression through creative art is often one of the best forms of therapy. The act of creating, whether by painting, drawing, writing, or performing, allows many people to have an outlet for their talents or discover a new one that they can use to express their emotions when they don't know where else to find support. Empower Yourself is a new online community that allows people struggling with addiction, health issues, parenting, relationships, and more to find support through creative and expressive means. At Empower Yourself, you can share your problems and your creativity with like-minded people. Let Empower Yourself help you grow as an artist, writer, or performer, and at the same time, grow as a person. You can showcase your creations, discuss books, poetry, prose, movies, theater, and find and offer solutions and suggestions for health issues affecting the body and mind. Visit us at empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. That's empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. Empower Yourself, empowering individuals to take control of their own lives.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
And so even though some people have a fetish for, you know, silk stockings and other people have a fetish for garter belts, fetishism is something that just has been with us for a long time. And many of the aboriginals, the people, the indigenous peoples around the world have gone through a series of fetish worship as well. We certainly see that today with, you know, everything that you can buy sportsman-wise, everything camo, all the deer hunting and upland game hunting and all that sort of stuff, and speedboats and ski boats and downhill skis and all the rest of the cheap Chinese plastic crap that you got throughout your house. Fetishism. You worship the crap. All right, and people have been doing this for a long time. But we're talking a little bit here, getting into Enoch, the book of, by starting it out from religious sex, just to let you know that Enoch is but one of the many, many, many religious sects that have existed over these past 4,500 or more years. The religious sect, however, is of more recent origin here, they say, for while primitive man could worship his crude fetishes blindly, it was necessary that he should learn to think before he could attempt to distinguish between the various attributes of the infinite, that from them he might construct those well-marked divisions of faith or creed which are such an inevitable result of the varying phases of human thought. Right? It takes a little bit more than just, you know, getting up in the morning and scratching thyself and stepping outside of your cave and looking around. It takes a little bit more than to start that, to start building a religion, a sect, a faith, a creed, a custom, a tribe, a tradition. Today, the term sect is applied to those bodies of men who have announced their decisions to follow the opinions or the doctrines of some philosophical or theological teacher. Of course, to the Roman Catholics, all religious bodies are not actually in affiliation with her companion or her communion are classified as sectarian, but such a definition is not the general one. The word sect being used to differentiate separate organizations rather than to call attention to comparatively inconsequential differences of opinion. So we're not necessarily running on opinion here. We're going off into the world of belief. And belief is powerful. Belief drives a man to do things that he might not otherwise do based just upon his opinions. Thus, for example, the high and the low church factions in the Church of England, or in this country, the Protestant Episcopal Church, are not regarded as separate sects, but as parties or schools within the same communion, parties and factions. Whereas the various bodies of Baptists in America are denominated as sects, not so much because of their differences in doctrinal matters, which in some instances are slight, but for the reason that they are under separate church government. We've had governments in the beginning. We'll have government till the end, too. Just a matter of whether you're involved in government or not, but you still govern your own life. And these sects have strict government. They have doctrines. They have dogmas. They have communions. While there were sects among the ancient Jews and Greeks, the coming of Christianity with its wide field for speculation opened the way for a more general promulgation of individual opinion. And the following list of the most important organizations of this and other days that there has been no lack of teachers and prophets to preach new gospels to those who would hear it. Right? And that's important. You've got to have adherence to a gospel. Right? And it's huge. I mean, we're talking in this encyclopedia, and this I'm looking to the America, the Encyclopedia Americana. This is the 1951 edition that I've referred to so many times in the past. This lengthy article by John R. Meter, he lists many different religious sects, and there's no reason for me to go through them all, but we can certainly find in this big stack of sects, religious sects, the the society. Let me see if I can find it here. Get my glasses set around. Some of this print is small, and then when they transition to this sort of thing, they make it really small, but fortunately it's alphabetical, and so I should have had that underlined, but I didn't. Let me just see where it is. Here he is. Enoch. Enoch. The Enochites. Let's see if we can get this out. It's a millenarian sect in Russia. It teaches that the prophet Enoch has already returned to the earth and that this personal manifestation will be the signal for the destruction of all manner or matter. All right? Give that to you again. It's a millenarian sect in Russia, the Enochites. It teaches that the prophet Enoch has already returned to earth and that his personal manifestation will be the signal for the destruction of all matter. Rather grim. But that seems to be the way it goes with these various sects, and especially of the apocryphal type, the apocalyptic type. Let's talk about apocalypse quickly. The apocalypse is from the Greek, and I won't go through the Greek. Michael Vail could do it beautifully, but I can't. But it basically means I reveal. I reveal. The apocalypse. It's the name frequently given to the last book of the New Testament. It is generally believed that the apocalypse was written by John in his old age at the end of the first century, 95 to 97 AD, in the Isle of Patmos, whither he had been banished by the Roman Emperor Domitian. Though commonly regarded as genuine in the first centuries of Christianity, critics have not been wanting who have doubted the evidence of its being the work of St. John. But there are always critics and skeptics. They're always out there. On account of its metaphorical language, it has been explained differently by almost every interpreter. You know, and even the Bible teaches, if you use the Bible as a guide, that the scripture is of no private interpretation. But everybody has an interpretation, unfortunately, and that causes great confusion. There can be no doubt that the hopes of the early Christians and the severe persecution they endured led them to regard the Roman Empire as the object of all prophetic denunciation and the coming of Christ in the millennium as near at hand. And in every century, we're always talking about, you know, the apocalypse, the end of all is coming. Jesus is coming home soon. Right? It's very handy. It fills up the coffers. It gets the priest's, oil barrel overflowing. At the Reformation, the Protestants identified Babylon with papal Rome. And there's going to be quite a bit of discussion about the Reformation as we go through Enoch. The modern interpreters may be divided into three schools, namely the historical school, who hold that the prophecy embraces the whole history of the church and its foes from the time of its writing to the end of the world. The preterists, who hold that the whole or nearly the whole of the prophecy has already been fulfilled and that it refers chiefly to triumph of Christianity over paganism and Judaism. And the futurists, we're going to find out more about the future life and how that figures into all of this. You know, we talk about the transhumanists and the futurists that are with us today. Some of them have been interviewed on Oracle Broadcasting with Michael Vail, you know, Barbara Marks Hubbard and some of the others, who throws the whole prophecy except the first three chapters forward upon a time not yet reached by the church, a period of no long duration, which is immediately to precede Christ's second coming. The apocalypse contains 22 chapters, so on and so forth. Now let's go into apocalyptic literature. As soon as we get back from this break, we're going to find that there's been no shortage of apocalyptic literature. Much of what passes for alternative media today is apocalyptic in its basis. We'll be right back.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so back into this discussion of apocalyptic literature as we begin our study of the Book of Enoch, a much discussed writing of old. All right, it's influenced a lot of people. We need to understand things carefully. I'm not here to teach you anything about religion, alter anybody's faith. Just present the information the way that I've found it. And I encourage you to think for yourselves more than just take what you hear from the pulpit or elsewhere. Because oftentimes there's an ulterior agenda. Somebody's trying to get you to do something, join their sect, begin, you know, to believe the way they believe and so on. I'd rather share with you how I approach topics and then expound upon that than to try and convince you of some particular thing. And in this, always, we start with the dictionaries, and from the dictionaries we move out into the encyclopedias, and the encyclopedias and the dictionaries help us to find authors and texts and books and bibliographies and things that we can go to expand our understanding. It links together a variety of the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how. But one of the interesting things in this study of Enoch is you'll find is that when you go and refer to the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, which has just about got everything Hebrew that you could ever want under the sun, including, you know, how to write it in Hebrew, inside that dictionary, it is absent and silent on Enoch and Lamech and others, which are rather unusual because at the time of his writing that dictionary, there was much discussion in Europe about the Book of Enoch. We'll find out more about that as we go along. Let's continue. Again, It must be said that they, this is the apocalyptic writers, they were the best successors of the great prophets, both in spirit and deed. Right? So in the, if you're looking at the Bible, for instance, you've got the Torah, the Pentateuch, the Torah, the law, the writings, and the prophets, and then you've got, of course, the Gospels. And so what we're looking at there is that in the writings found in the Bible, the prophets, they spoke and then they were silent, all right, according to the lore. And I might add another word to your lexicon, mythhistoremia. It's perhaps one of the best words I've ever seen. I got it out of a book called The Other Bible, which had a lot to do with all of the various other writings that were suppressed in the early centuries. But mythhistoremia for the Bible is an accurate terminology because it is the myth of a history of a people. The myth of the history of a people. It's much like we, our young people today, are educated by the school systems. They're teaching the myth of the history of the American people, and they seem to be rewriting that myth now almost on an annual basis. But let's go back to the encyclopedia here under apocalyptic literature. They have the same basis of revelation and inspiration. Both possess an eschatology and are highly ethical. On the other hand, the differences are very striking. Old Testament prophecy is always conditional in regard to future events, but in the case of the apocalyptic, the conditions are of minor importance, as the prediction will come to pass in a mechanical way, irrespective of human conduct. So it doesn't matter how you dress or how you part your hair or whatever. These things are going to come to pass because thus saith the Lord, all right? Thus saith the prophet of old, Enoch, and others. The most striking difference is found in the scope of the two eschatologies, I'll get that word in my mouth here this morning, eschatologies. In the Old Testament prophecies, eschatology is almost entirely concerned with the nation. But in the apocalyptic, the eschatology of the individual is highly developed. So there's a transition that was beginning at this time period that's important because it carries on to today. And that is the difference between the tongue or the tribe or the creed or the nation of Israel, for instance, as opposed to the individual. No matter where, after the diaspora, no matter where the tribes went, there they were. And all of these things that they had heard and learned and loved and believed in their youth, they would take with them elsewhere. And maybe we can visit with the Vikings a bit in this discussion as well, but let's continue. Again, the belief in a new heaven and a new earth is one of the finest products of this literature. So this new heaven, new earth concept started to come in, kept creeping in as a result of this apocalyptic literature, where all things old will be done away with and a new earth will appear. The most representative apocalypses come from the period of about 200 BC to 100 AD. So they span from the before Christ time period, before the Common Era, to the Common Era. It must not be concluded that the apocalyptic sprang into being at one time. The transition toward the apocalyptic was made in the Old Testament itself, as shown by the appearances of the apocalyptic tendencies in Ezekiel and Isaiah, especially Isaiah 24 through 27, and one of the best apocalypses, the book of Daniel. The principal Jewish apocalypses of the period 200 BC to 100 AD are arranged in chronological order. Enoch, the Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs, Assumption of Moses, the Secrets of Enoch, 2nd Baruch, 3rd Baruch, 4th Ezra, or the 2nd Esdras, for those of you that have that in your Douay Bible, a general survey of the character and contents of these books is as follows. And we're just going to look at Enoch without going into the others. But this is one of the benefits of encyclopedia study. Because even though that you know how to type in Book of Enoch into your web browser, you may not be led along to all of these various and other carry-ons and similitudes that are out there in known, writings. So here's the Book of Enoch. It is a composite collection of writings coming from different centuries. That is absolutely essential to understand. You think that, you know, somebody introduce it to you and think, gosh, this guy was incredible. Enoch, well, they must have found all this rolled up in his sock drawer. Well, no, that's not how it happens. It's written by a bunch of people over time. And, you know, as we said, opinions are like elbows. They're easily bent to suit whatever purpose is at hand. And sometimes, you know, things just creep in. And so it may have started out with one intention, and then some other writer picks it up, and they add something else to it, and then someone else adds something else to that, and that's what you deal with when you make a thorough study of the Bible. It's a compilation of a collection of writings that come from different centuries. There are indications of at least five books, so that a more appropriate title would be the Books of Enoch, rather than the Book of Enoch. The oldest sections of this Enoch literature are chapters 1 through 36 and 83 through 90. Now, if you want to read this for yourself, and we'll come back and read portions of it, you can find it on the web at www.ancienttexts.org, ancienttexts.org, and if you search around in there, you can find it. And the Book of Enoch, and this is an R. H. Charles edition translation. Translations are everything. Translations are everything. This is one of the greatest confusions and greatest controversies about studying the Bible in the Christian religion, especially in the Protestant faith, is all of the various and sundry translations. You know, I could ask for a show of hands. Who out there in the listening audience could tell me what is the first word in the Bible and what is the last? You know? Probably not. Very few of you would know the answer to that question. But even if you did know that the first word in the Bible in English is in, and that's in the Revised Standard Edition and in the Authorized Version of the King James, even if you did know that, you might not know the last word. But the last word is amen. And of course, for those of you that are students of history, you know that we're now invoking Amenhotep, the first of the the first of the monotheists. And why is it that Christians always end their prayers with an invocation of Amen's name? Ever ask yourself that question? But what is the first word in the Bible? Well, it's certainly not in. The first word in the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, is Bereshith. And if you've never made an inquiry into what is Bereshith and what does it mean, it does not mean in the beginning, but that's the way even in the Jewish lexicon that I spent big money to get, that's the way they define it. But that's lexicon. This is the sort of stuff that they would write in their newspaper. It's certainly not the esoteric meaning of the word Bereshith, which forms as its heart, really, the writings of Maimonides in his Guide for the Perplexed. Bereshith is a great mystery among the Hebrews scholars. But what is Bereshith and what is Amen? And that's beyond the scope of what we're talking about today. But I just lay it out for you. The oldest sections, again, of this Enoch literature are in the chapters 1 through 36 and 83 through 90. So you can see how important it is to understand who is the translator, who are they translating it for, is his name, well, we'll have to pick that up right after this.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the OracleBroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so there have been many, many writers that have written the Bibles that we have today, the Textus Receptus, Desiderius Erasmus, the works of another good writer. Well, I'll come back to that. It wasn't really in my mind for this morning. These, continues here, these chapters date from the first half of the 2nd century B.C. Chapters 83 through 90 are the oldest sections of the book and by far the most complete of and typical of the apocalyptic. So when you're studying the book of Enoch, it helps to study first. And I'll just let me back up before I say that. I don't want to blow my thunder on that one. Many people have spent much or most of their lives studying the Bible. All right. And I, too, spent many, many years of my life studying the Bible. There were times where I could just quote endlessly verse after verse after verse. Even as a wee one, when I got my first Bible from Reverend Roy Savage, as I graduated from primary to secondary Bible school in the Methodist Church in Fairbanks, Alaska, which we attended, and that day we were already doing sword drills, is what they used to call them. In other words, the Sunday school teacher would call out a verse, and the first little one that could get their eyes on that verse and have their Bible open to it would be able to stand up and read it. It's considered an honor to be able to quickly, expediently know your Bible well enough to be able to just have it fall open in your hands at the right verse. Right? So even though many people have spent most of it, or perhaps all of their lives reading the Bible and studying the Bible, few have ever studied the Bible. It's a change of the definite article. Instead of the lowercase t, if you will, the Bible, we emphasize the and we begin to study the Bible. And at that point, the scales fall off your eyes. And from that point forward, when you begin to study the Bible as a document, things change. And they change dramatically. Continuing back there again, we can see that various writers in various time periods and in various locales are contributors to what we consider the Book of Enoch, and that much has changed in all of this. But chapters 83 through 90 are the oldest sections of the book, and the reason I mention that is that because if you just go up on the internet and you get the Book of Enoch, or you download it, or you buy it from a bookseller, you don't know whether you have the best of the translations that are out there. You don't know who the translators were, perhaps. You haven't done a word study and a name study on who that translator might be, what their intent was. Everyone has an intention for the things they do. Keep trying to come back to thinking this guy, his name always just kind of flees away from him. But anyway, so we have to be aware of that. But as you study, you realize that chapters 83 through 90 are the oldest sections of the book and by far the most complete and the typical of the apocalyptic. They consist of dream visions from the beginning to the end of time. History is allegorized by the use of symbolic language, symbolism, history, and chapters 1 through 36 narrate the earth, Sheol, and heavenly places. This has been truly named the work of a Jewish Dante. The first century B.C. sections are chapters 37 through 71 and 91 through 108. You see how we're jumping around in time here? Different authorship. Chapters 37 through 71 have been named the Parables of Enoch, and they picture the judgment of the wicked, the lot of the apostates, the blessedness of the saints, and the idea of a new heaven and a new earth. Chapters 91 through 108 are a series of exhortations. Chapters 71 through 82 are a little uncertain in regard to the date, but they probably come from the 2nd century B.C. We're spanning 300-400 years in here. Continuing, they talk about other things. The secrets of Enoch, this is another section along the same line. The apocalypse is sometimes called Second Enoch. The text has been largely recovered from the Slavonic versions of the 16th and the 17th centuries. It was written by a Hellenistic Jew, probably in Egypt, during the middle of the 1st century A.D. One of the prominent marks of its Hellenistic tendencies is its doctrines of the pre-existence of man. So it does help to get involved with some of this stuff. There's a little bit about 666, again, right out of the encyclopedia. And there is more here, by the way, on Enoch, but we can move along quickly. The apocalyptic number, the mystic number 666, which according to some authorities ought to be 616, mentioned in Revelation 13:18, as early as the 2nd century, ecclesiastical writers found that the name Antichrist was indicated by the Greek characters expressive of this number, numbers being expressed in Greek by the letters of the alphabet. The Irenaeus had the word Latinos, was found in the letters of the number, and the Roman Empire was therefore considered to be Antichrist. Another solution is from Neron Kesar, the Hebrew form of Nero Caesar. Omitting the E's and the A's, which were not written in Hebrew, we get 666 as the value of the letters. As many different interpretations. Again, we need to be very careful. Check your experts. The term Apocrypha is generally applied to a distinct group of religious literature closely associated with the canons of the Old and the New Testament. And if you've never studied the canonization process and when that occurred, it's worth your time. You know when to hold them, you know when to throw them, you know what they kept, and you know what they pitched away. But they don't tell you what they pitched away. They just don't show you what they've kept. That's the Bible. This literature was not regarded as canonical, although much read and quoted in church and synagogue. The Old Testament groups, a collection of 14 books of Jewish origin, is found in the Greek and the Latin versions, but not in the Hebrew versions. The New Testament group is rather indefinite. Probably a lot of writings were set aside. You get the Gospels of the Gnostics, etc., and all of that. The New Testament group is rather an indefinite body of early Christian literature consisting of parallels and additions to the writings of the New Testament. And it should be a mind bender for all of you out there that the Christ apparently wrote nothing, not so much as a grocery list, a to-do list, or, dear Joseph and Mary, I'm down here in Egypt and the weather is fine. Hope to see you fine. Say hi to James and Joe. All my brothers and sisters from the same Virgin Mother. Anyway, it's a surprise and it's a disappointment that there's not a scrap, there's not a jot, there's not a tittle written by this figure that has been at the center of all study of things religious for Western man for 2,000 years. The use of the term apocrypha and apocryphal varies to a great extent, especially among Protestants and Roman Catholics. The authorities of a Protestant persuasion apply the term apocrypha to the two groups known as the Old and New Testament apocrypha proper. However, the term apocryphal is made not only to include these two groups, but also many of the Jewish pseudo-epigraphic writings. Pseudo-epigraphic, that's a rather interesting one, of the Old Testament. The Catholics designate the books of the Old Testament, Apocrypha proper, as deuterocanonical books, except 1 and 2 Esdras and the Prayer of Manasses, and group all the remaining Jewish and Christian literature of a kindred origin under the term apocryphal. And, you know, your apocrypha is sewn into the center of your first edition of the King James Bible, and in a good study Bible, and in others you can also find sewn right in between the end of the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and the New Testament, the just sewn in between the scriptures and the Gospels, the writings in the Gospels, you'll find the Apocrypha books. And they make quite the read, if you haven't read them yet. So all of this, continuing to get our minds ready to start talking about Enoch, the meaning of the term Apocrypha coming from the Greek word meaning hidden. This is the hidden writings, the hidden text, the hidden meanings, has undergone several very significant changes in the course of its use and application. Historically considered, three principal changes in the meaning of the word should be noted. In its earliest use, and again, this is the term Apocrypha being defined here by the author, in its earliest use, it was restricted to the writings of more or less sacred character, but contains certain mysterious and esoteric teachings intended only for the wise and the initiated. And so as we go into this branch of inquiry, this isn't for the pew dusters. All right? Because this sort of inquiry can take away the faith in these writings. And because it's all based on belief and confidence and faith, that's not a wise thing, which is why the Bible was kept away from the hands of the people for centuries and centuries and centuries. Hour number 2, straight ahead. Stay tuned.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in mini bug-out bags, perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, or Moonday, October the 4th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. OracleBroadcasting.com. In the first hour of today's two-hour broadcast, we launched in on part one, I'm going to call it, of our study of the Book of Enoch. And as a process, we're laying down some of the foundation to even discuss it by understanding just what is the apocalyptic and what is the Apocrypha and what are apocalyptic numbers and so on and so forth. That set us up so that we understand a little bit more about the books and the writings, as opposed to getting overwhelmed by the writings, which you'll find are rather vapid as we go through them later in the series. We might go through this a couple of days this week. If we can finish it this week, we will. And as you know, if not, we'll continue till I feel as though we've gotten enough of it said that you can take it up on your own and go run with it. Anywho, back into this discussion, as we came into the break, we were looking at the Apocrypha. And what is the Apocrypha? And for those of you that might have your Bibles, you could look and just see before Matthew, is there another series of books? If there are, you have a Bible that has the Apocrypha documents, the canonical Apocrypha, sewn into it. And that's a valuable Bible to have because it gives you a better picture. You really need to study the Maccabees to understand what's going down in Israel. Little illegitimate box of rocks. Anywho, back again, the meaning of the term Apocrypha coming from the Greek word meaning hidden. We're getting off into some of the esoteric aspects of Bible study and all things theological. It has undergone several very significant changes in the course of its use and application. Historically considered, three principal changes in the meaning of the word should be noted. In its earliest use, again, it was restricted to the writings of more or less sacred character, but containing certain mysterious and esoteric teachings intended only for the wise and the initiated. Rather, you're going to have to scratch at the door of the lodge. You aren't going to come in and find out the meanings of the gavel and the widow's son if you're standing outside. They only teach those things inside the windowless lodge. In this case, there was no discredit thrown upon the writings because of authorship or contents. And when you're diving into the esoteric, you know, you don't, to hell with authenticity. You just go in and savor the words. You know, it's the way that Leo Strauss used to like to write. He always made sure that he had his number, you know, numbering system right. And if he had to force a paragraph or force a sentence to get it there, he'd do so. That way it seemed to be profound. But as we know, not everything that is profound is obscure. Not everything obscure is profound. And once you figure out that you're dealing with symbolic logic and that language is simply a colloquy of symbols that we use to express the reality, and reality is shaped by the colloquy of symbols that we use, it becomes like the Chinese dragon or the dog that's running around and around in the front yard biting its own tail. If you can't break the cycle and begin to stand back and look at the symbology, you just get swept away in the swirling dust. Continuing, origin, well, let's go down a little further. Still another meaning was given to the term by some of the church fathers. All right, that's capital C, capital F, the church fathers. There's a whole bunch of research you can do just on church fathers. Again, this is the value of having a quality set of encyclopedia, like the Encyclopedia Americana or the Britannica. And for things theological, and especially all things Hebrew, a Funk and Wagnalls encyclopedia is good to have in your library as well. Now, we'll be back with the Church Fathers and Origin right after this. Stay tuned. Much, much more to come.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Self-expression through creative art is often one of the best forms of therapy. The act of creating, whether by painting, drawing, writing, or performing, allows many people to have an outlet for their talents or discover a new one that they can use to express their emotions when they don't know where else to find support. Empower Yourself is a new online community that allows people struggling with addiction, health issues, parenting, relationships, and more to find support through creative and expressive means. At Empower Yourself, you can share your problems and your creativity with like-minded people. Let Empower Yourself help you grow as an artist, writer, or performer, and at the same time, grow as a person. You can showcase your creations, discuss books, poetry, prose, movies, theater, and find and offer solutions and suggestions for health issues affecting the body and mind. Visit us at empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. That's empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. Empower Yourself, empowering individuals to take control of their own lives.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And continuing our study here of the Apocrypha as a prelude to understanding better what is the Book of Enoch and what is its purpose, what can we learn from it. Continuing, it says Origen here, the Church Fathers, especially Origen, it's O-R-I-G-E-N, by the way, capital O there, Origen, name of an individual, wherein it was applied to all writings of a secondary questionable character. Many of the works thus branded were discredited as to their teachings and withdrawn from public use. We need to be very careful about this censorship that religion, especially the Catholic Church, has visited upon these texts. It's just like saying, whoa, oh, my goodness. Well, try and remember all this stuff, my goodness. What is it? I'll have to come back to it again. Completely lost it. I had it right in the tip of my tongue. Anyway, we have to be very careful about this censorship, and especially from the Roman Catholic Church, because they censored everything. They even put it in a foreign tongue. People couldn't even read the Bible. They just go in, and it was omni domino, pasta and ravioli. Nobody knew what was going on. Lots of incense, some singing, stained glass, a big pipe organ. Boy, it was great. Had a wonderful experience at church today. Don't know a damn thing was said. All right. Many of the works thus branded again were discredited as to their teachings and withdrawn from public use, especially the term. Finally, the term was used to designate false and heretical literatures. And boy, you don't want to be in possession of, you know, any of these false or heretical literature at the time, because it could cost you your life. In addition to this general uncertainty, much confusion has prevailed in regard to the value of the literature. Some of these differences can be traced back to the different ideas of canonicity as held in the Jewish and Hellenistic circles. So it's not limited just to the Catholic Church. The Jews were just as concerned about these documents, anything that would undermine their authority or take away a little bit of "thus saith the Lord," scare the hell out of the churchmen, you know. But some of the church leaders, especially in the Western Church, ascribe full scriptural authority and inspiration to the apocryphal writings. This view finally bore fruit in the Council of Trent in 1546, when 11 of the books of the Old Testament Apocrypha were declared canonical, and those are the ones you find sewn in your Bibles. 11 books. 11, 11, 11. On the other hand, a great number of the leaders, because of their close association with Hebrew traditions, and you need to be very aware of that, Hebrew presence continuously in the Catholic Church, denied scriptural authority and value to any of the books. This view was championed by Jerome, that's capital J, Jerome, and finally found expression in the Protestant Christian view of Reformation times. And we're going to find the great reformers involved in a study of the Book of Enoch as we proceed. There were some who did not accept either one of these two extreme views. They clearly recognized the value of the literature, but at the same time, they were not willing to place the books on the same level with the biblical books. This latter view finally found expression in the teachings of the Church of England. Right? Old Testament Apocrypha. The Old Testament Apocrypha proper contains 14 books and represents, except for a few minor variations, the excess of the Greek canon over the Hebrew canon. The books may be classified in the following way, and then it continues. The parallels of additions to the Old Testament, and that would be the Prayer of Manasses, the Song of the Three Holy Children, the History of Susanna, Bel and the Dragon, the rest of Esther, First Esdras and Baruch, including the Epistle of Jeremiah. All those are the parallels or additions to the Old Testament. Two, historical. They're included for their historical content, such as the Maccabees, all right? First and Second Maccabees. Third, legendary, and that would be Tobit and Judith. Judith is an interesting story to read. If you haven't read it, it's worth your time to read it. Presents a rather interesting story, but a story it seems to be. Wisdom literature, Ecclesiasticus, and the Wisdom of Solomon, okay, for additional wisdom. See these apocryphal documents. Apocalyptical, Second Ezra, or Fourth Ezra. same title, Second Esdras, or Four Ezra. A brief survey of these books is as follows, and I'm going to pass on that. You can certainly find all of that information yourself just by looking at them. The books of the New Testament Apocrypha can be arranged under three heads, namely the Gospels, the Acts, and the Epistles. A few of the more important under each group will be mentioned. In the Gospels, the Gospel according to the Egyptians. It reflects a severe belief in the asceticism and agnosticism. Gospel according to the Hebrews. It was written by some of the followers of the Nazarenes and the Ebionites. And the Ebionites are important when we're talking about this book of Enoch. The Gospel according to Peter. It was discovered in 1885 and published in 1892. It was popular among the Syrian Christians. The Gospel according to Thomas, a copy of which I have in my library. It is an attempt to fill in the story of Jesus' infancy. Jesus is described as a miracle worker from its beginning. Acts. The most important one in this class is the Acts of Paul and Thessia. It is a romantic story of a woman converted under Paul's ministry. In addition to this writing, there are the Acts of Andrew, John, and Peter. See, many people don't know any of these things exist. But if you listen to this broadcast, these are the kind of things we discuss here, philosophically radical thought. Continuing, Epistles, the Epistle of Abgar. It contains an epistle, of course, is a letter. The Epistle of Abgar. It contains the message of Abgar, the king of Edessa, to Jesus and his answer. The epistle of Barnabas to Jesus and his answer. The epistle of, the epistle of Clement. It seeks to bring and restore harmony into the church at Corinth. And then it goes on and it lists a very, very lengthy bibliography. And this is one of the values of studying from these encyclopedias, not so much for the articles. The articles are fantastic. They really encapsulate the information and present it quickly. But then, in a better encyclopedia, the author will list his sources, and it's those sources. Now that we have the internet, now that we have some of the antiquarian booksellers that are out there that are going up and digitizing books and making them available and with new modern technology so that you can actually obtain a copy of a book previously out of circulation and only buy one book, and they don't have to publish all of them, but they can just print the thing out and put it in a little binding machine and send it to you as a paperback, voila, for 10 or 15 bucks. What a what a massive shift for the researcher.
Okay.
It really changes things around. One of the let me see if I can find it quickly here. That's not coming quickly to hand. Must have it in the other room. Sometimes I keep various things in the radio room, and sometimes I put them back on the shelves. Here we go. We'll be back right after this break.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider.
teamspeak.cc.
My soul. Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
So over the break, it came to mind that what I had been trying to reach for was two different titles during the process of the expose here, the exposition. The first one is the Schofield Reference Bible, C.I. Schofield's production. You know, this guy was a real piece of work in his own right. You might want to take a look into it. But there are great numbers of Christians all across America that study right out of the Schofield Reference Bible, and many of them are the raptures, you know, make up the rapture cult, right? And it's a sad and sorry thing that they've gotten led into all of this. But a rapture cult is certainly in line with the Enoch story as well. But C.I. Schofield, you know, the real importance of that Bible, and I've got one in my library, the real importance there is his footnotes and his reference material that you find along the bottom and in the margins. And it's important to look at it. It's also one that really, a Bible that really builds for this time period a support for this illegitimate box of rocks known as Israel, right? Without the rapturists and without the Zionists, you know, they wouldn't be able to continue to have this gangster kingdom over in the Near East, you know, created by the English people, supported by the United States and the Zionists here. So anyway, there's that. Another one, and this is something that had come to mind during the discussion, is that everyone looks at the Hebrews, especially the Jews, especially look at the protocols of the wise and learned elders of Zion, and they call it a forgery. You know, it's a forgery. It's plagiarism. It's forgery. Well, if it's a forgery, then there must have been another one. What was the other one? You know, I think that that's just basically a smokescreen right up the line of Abraham Foxman and the ADL. They like to point people away from something when it's causing a little bit too much grief. But certainly there have been whole cults, you know, and sects. We started out with that. All the people, that, for instance, that followed Brother Billy Branham. And Branham, you know, read from the Schofield Reference Bible, but, you know, only believe all things are possible, only believe. And boy, the peers would just flow. Boy, you'd get your prayer shawl and get on with it. But it really moves a lot of the people in the South, and, you know, fundamentalist churches are all over the place. So with all that, let's go into Enoch just a little bit. And again, I like to go from different varieties of material, because what you find in encyclopedias, even dictionaries, the dictionaries and the encyclopedias, they're all competing for audience share, just as we have to try and do here on the radio, get people to listen to us. But they're all competing for audience share, and each of the researchers have different, you know, understandings, and each of the encyclopedias have a different theme or a different focus or a different direction. They have different editorial staffs, different publishers, and different men behind the scenes. And different writers. And so one of the first sets of encyclopedias after my Encyclopedia Britannica that I read, that I have in my library, is a Funk and Wagnall Standard Reference Encyclopedia that I rescued almost a complete set out of a dumpster behind a public library. And I found that in reading this set of encyclopedias that because Funk was a Jew that studied in the, I think, the Lutheran faith in Germany, and came to this country, and they created this set of encyclopedias, he's got a really good handle on all things Jewish. So if you want to have a set of encyclopedias to look at that you can usually pick up economically, oftentimes dirtbag cheap, I have two whole sets of these now, which I rarely ever give more than a dollar a volume for. But if you want a set of encyclopedias that will cover these areas, you might look for a Funk and Wagnall if you're doing a homeschool program or if you're just doing independent research for yourself. And the older the Funk and Wagnall that you get, the better. Because as we transition, come from forward through the 60s and into the 70s, the historical revisionists are all over everything. But here's an article on Enoch, short one, That's the one of the real blessings of this set of encyclopedias. The articles are much shorter than others. And this is the way it reads for Enoch. In the Old Testament, according to Genesis 4:17 through 18, the son of Cain and the father of Arad. Right? So here's your benefit, again, for going to the encyclopedias, because you might not know, you may not have a Strong's Concordance, you may not have a concordance, or you may not have a study Bible, and you may not be able to find all of the references in the Bible to Enoch. But if you use a set of encyclopedias and follow through it, they'll give you all of the various and sundry places where theologians and those that study this sort of stuff have gone in the past, and they've mapped it out, makes it easy for you. Enoch, in the Old Testament, according to Genesis 4:17 through 18, was the son of Cain. Adam raised up Cain. Cain slew Abel. All right? And the father of Arad. But according to Genesis 5:18, he was the son of Jared and the father of Methuselah. And this is one of the problems with the Bible. And you don't get this, you know, you don't get this by just flipping the Bible open and reading the Proverbs and the Psalms. You don't get it and, you know, read the Beatitudes. You don't get it when you just go and read the Apocalypse, you know, St. John. You actually need to study the Bible, first of all of the 66 books. You need to go through and read them all very carefully. Not just, you know, verse studies, but read the entire book. And then go back and read it through first with the, well, you read it first time with an intent of reading the entire Bible from beginning to end, from Bereshit to Amen, just as you would read a novel. And then you can come back and you study it book by book. And then you come back and study it again, verse by verse. And then I came back and studied it again, word by word, using the concordances and everything I could put my hand on so that I could study it somewhat in the various tongues, whether that be Greek or Aramaic or Hebrew, which is basically just Yiddish these days. But anyway, Enoch, again, in the Old Testament, according to Genesis 4 through 17, was the son of Cain and the father of Arad. But according to Genesis 5:18, the son of Jared and the father of Methuselah. Another thing that is very useful and helpful, and especially if you're going to study Enoch at all, is to make a timeline. Make a timeline of the Bible. Now, there might be some out there, but if you will make it for yourself, it will become more alive in your mind, and you're going to start to find that there is not a continuous timeline, nor could there be, because if there were a continuous timeline, you'd be able to line it up with archaeological discovery, and you'd start to find that, wait a minute, things aren't working out very well. Not only do you find these kind of contradictions, where in one section in Genesis, Enoch is the son of Cain and the father of Arad, but in Genesis 5:18, he's the son of Jared and the father of Methuselah. He doesn't work that way. Truth is a funny thing, you know. There's only one truth in all of that, and then there's all of the opinions. There's reasons, and then there are the reasons for the reasons. Some scholars consider Genesis 4 as an endeavor to trace Canaanitish culture, and that, as such, it describes features of the history of Canaan to Enoch. According to Genesis 5, Enoch is said to have lived for 365 days. Now, this most people know about Enoch. And to have walked with God. It is thought that Enoch was translated or carried bodily to heaven, wherever that might be. Babylonian legends, be careful now, you get into Babylon, Babylon and Egypt, Babylon and Sumer. Babylon legends in which such translations are encountered have been thought to offer partial explanation of the Enoch narrative. Whether or not Enoch is the hero translated to the gods in Babylonian mythology is controversial. However, this possibility is given some credence by the possible connection between the list of the 10 patriarchs in Genesis 5 and the 10 antediluvian kings mentioned by Berosus. And of course, if you haven't seen the DVD series Zeitgeist, you might check out Zeitgeist 1. We'll be right back.
For great talk radio, you found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the OracleBroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again looking into the study of the Book of Enoch and Enoch himself, one that has caused a lot of discussion over the centuries, certainly a mysterious figure in history. We can find traces of him in the Babylonian legends and elsewhere. And I mentioned going into the previous break, a book publisher, but I couldn't recall the name right off the bat. I've just posted it in the chat room, and that is www.kessinger, K-E-S-S-I-N-G-E-R, Kessinger, just like K-E-S Singer, the sewing machine company, www.kessinger.net. They're a publisher of many rare and out-of-print books, and sometimes when I really want to get some esoteric text, I'll look through their offering on the internet and or call them directly, and the books that they've sent to me have been virtually photographic copies, reprints, and printed out in a very handy, sturdy paperback that you can use in your research. But they're basically photographic copies of original documents, and so they're very useful in that regard, as opposed to having someone else reset them in type. And that's important because, you know, it only takes a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. All you have to do is to start dropping commas and changing capitalizations and things like that to greatly distort the meaning of something, as we see happening over and over again with our Constitution and the Declaration, perverted as it has been over the years. But Babylonian legends, again, back to this Funk and Wagnall Encyclopedia, the standard reference, And this is a set of encyclopedias, again, as I said, are retrieved out of a dumpster behind a public library. It was originally published in 1931, and the editions that I have in front of me is a 1961, all right? So I have the 1961 edition here in front of me, open on my table. And I'm reading from it, Babylonian legends in which such translations are encountered have been thought to offer partial explanation of the Enoch narrative, and whether or not Enoch is the hero translated to the gods in Babylonian mythology is controversial. Now remember how long that the Hebrew boys were stuck off to Babylon before they came back and reopened and set it up again, Jerusalem, which is Salem, New Salem, which was the former home of Melchizedek until the Hebrew boys slaughtered him. He may have been one of the last of the angels. Who knows? Anyway, that's a story for another day. However, this possibility is given some credence by the possible connection between the list of the 10 patriarchs in Genesis 5 and the 10 antediluvian kings mentioned by Berossus, Babylonian priest and historian of the 3rd century B.C., so we're still looking at hundreds of years from when these writings first began to emerge and when they were, you know, finally discovered again in more modern times. To the Jewish people of a later period, Enoch was the inventor of writing, arithmetic, and astronomy. Writing, arithmetic, and astronomy. You know, some people say, well, the Hebrew was the first, you know, written language, and they give themselves a lot of credit, but, you know, really, you got to look at the Phoenicians more closely. I don't know about how many of you may have studied or read the Peloponnesian Wars, of which Thucydides was the historian, but if you'll take the time and read that carefully, you'll notice that there is zero mention of the Hebrews. If they were at all significant people at the time, which is just a few hundred years B.C., if they were at all significant people, you would think they would at least have had a mention or taken a part in that great time period. The Phoenicians are mentioned, however. And, of course, it was the Phoenicians, Hiram of Tyre, that went and got the cedars from Lebanon to build the temple. Anywho, so now let's go into the Book of Enoch again. This, from the Encyclopedia, Funk and Wagnall Encyclopedia, is going to give us an encapsulated version. When you're studying out of encyclopedias, it's important to get an understanding of who is the audience, who is the target audience of the encyclopedist. I have a set of Groliers, a 1994 Groliers, that was written and produced and introduced to public libraries for the moderns, 1994. It's for the deliberately dumbed-down horde, all right? It doesn't have any of the scholarly attributes that you would find in an encyclopedia even as lowly here as the Funk and Wagnall, much less to say the Encyclopedia Americana or the Britannica. One of the reasons why I come up with these encyclopedias is because they're being ejected out of public libraries. They're being reduced or replaced by these Groliers, which are, in my estimation, nothing more than Time Magazine rotogravure articles, all right? Long on the color photographs that take up an entire page and very short on information. Continuing, the Book of Enoch, pseudographical book purporting to incorporate the various heavenly and earthly revelations experienced by the patriarch Enoch. It exists in two versions, known as the Book of Enoch and the Secrets of Enoch. The former is called the Ethiopic Enoch. And if you just do a web search for that, you'll come up with it. And I'll give you some links on that in a moment. Because it survives in its entirety only in the Ethiopic version, Ethiopia, Africa. The latter is called the Slavonic Enoch because it survives in its entirety only in a Slavonic version. The Ethiopic version is the longest book in the Pseudographica, see the Bible. Scholars have concluded that the original text was either Hebrew or Aramaic or possibly a combination of both, much like we find in the Old Testament, Hebrew and Aramaic being written, read, and used at various times in that region, in the Near and Middle East. The early Christian church held the book in high esteem. That's important to know. because the early Christian church was just about all fed to the lions. They held a lot of things in high esteem that didn't seem to go over too well with the Romans. However, it remained in virtual oblivion from the 4th century A.D. to 1773. Long time. Maybe now we can understand why it didn't appear in Noah Webster's 1828. It was still just cutting edge recovery. When in Ethiopic when the Ethiopic manuscripts were discovered in Abyssinia, 1773, the book is a composite of distinct sections written by different authors at different times. Now I'm going to have to jump in here and talk about it from the standpoint of oblivion and hidden books. Well, Dorothy, at the time of the Reformation, and we'll come to that in a moment, or perhaps tomorrow, but at the time of the Reformation, the Book of Enoch was open on the table and being discussed. The book is a composite of distinct sections written by different authors at different times. In all likelihood, all the sections were written within the first 2 centuries B.C. And so you can see now that there's a little bit of a disconnect between Funk and Wagnall and the Encyclopedia Americana. Writing for two different audiences, one more scholarly, one more academic, one more open or exoteric, and the other a little bit more esoteric, revealing some of the hidden knowledge. Not all, but some. The book, again, is a composite of distinct sections written by different authors at different times. In all likelihood, the sections were written within the first 2 centuries B.C. The book is composed of 6 sections. The first announces God's coming judgment. The second deals with the plight of the host of the fallen angels. The third presages the kingdom of God in heaven and on earth and prophesies the coming of a Messiah. The fourth consists of revelations granted to Enoch concerning the heavenly bodies. The fifth contains Enoch's visions of the flood and the final judgment. And the sixth consoles the righteous and warns of punishment for the wicked. And so you can see in the Book of Enoch why it would be found interesting to many is because it basically summarizes most of the writings of the Old Testament. Not all of the prophets, but a prophet indeed was Enoch, apparently. Prophecy being one of those things they did in those days. Interpolated within the 6th section is a division in which all of human history is divided by Enoch into 10 phases. Now this sort of discussion is, you know, it's replete. There's lots of people that did this. You know, Carol Quigley in his History of Civilizations did it as well. And so did Auguste Comte when he divided man and his life into 3 primary stages, the first being the metaphysical or the theological stage, the second being the metaphysical stage, and the third being the positive stage. But Enoch divided it into 10 phases or epochs, culminating in the Last Judgment. And this Last Judgment thing is really important, all right? This is futurism, but it's also kind of an Oriental despotism, and it has tremendous fatality involved in all of it. In other words, you're always looking forward to life, not living your life. And that had a profound impact on the people, they call it the Dark Ages, this box pushed down over the heads of those people. They're always looking to a distant time instead of what's happening right in front of their faces. We'll be right back.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Hello.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in mini bug-out bags. Perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled S-E-A-Panel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
And as we're just racing through the day's time allowed, coming into the last segment of today's broadcast, Brian's been hanging on the line there for a while. But Brian, I'm just going to keep right on going. I want to conclude with where I'm at on this, and we can take your calls again perhaps tomorrow. But continuing along here, and it's very important to understand this Book of Enoch, you know, in regards to the apocalyptic writings in the time that we're living in today. All right. There's a lot of people out there, Zionism, Christian Zionists, and so on and so forth, that are looking for the end times. They want the end times so bad they can't stand it. And they're willing to do anything and everything they can to support anything that would move us closer to the end times, because they believe that God is incapable and incompetent, and that if they can just help him along, then maybe Jesus will come and land on the mount again. Well, anyway, or maybe they'll just get raptured up and they can sit up there in the bleachers and watch the hell come to the planet Earth. Maybe that's what they like. Unfortunately, a lot of the people that are involved in government in various different levels, in the Congress and in the Senate and in your state houses and in your county courthouses, they too are looking for Jesus. And that's a problem for us, because they'll do nothing to keep the system running properly, a well-ordered system requiring a little bit of oil and adjustment from time to time, and they'll do everything to hasten man's destruction. It was Shabtai Zvi, the founder of the Shabtaians, kind of a hairball Hebrew, but who said, from the greatest evil can come the greatest good. Okay, from the greatest evil can come the greatest good. Gives you an idea what terrorism is all about. Systems of government that rule by fear, intimidation, and dread, as Al Anthony shares on his broadcast Behind the Woodshed on Sundays from 2 to 4. Fear, intimidation, and dread. Terrorism. Governments that run that way. But this is the way the church has been run as well. They live, they thrive on fear, intimidation, and dread. It fills up the donations box. Continuing from the Encyclopedia article here, the book is significant because of its concepts of the Messianic Kingdom, its treatment of angels and demons, and even its terminology are strikingly prophetic of later Christian thought. And so, you know, one of the things I have came, what came to me early on in my studies was that I'm far more moved. I would be far more moved by prophecy if we discovered it after the fact than to be moved by prophecy long ago written, now coming to pass. I mean, it took them a long time to take the recipe and create it, but they did it. As part of the profound nature of the obscurity of the Dead Sea Scrolls, when things from the Dead Sea Scrolls are brought out, no one had seen them for thousands of years, perhaps hundreds of years, certainly. No one had seen these things, and when they're read, then they are more profound because they were obscure for a long time. If they were just right out in the open, open, upfront, and obvious, then, you know, these things that come to pass are less significant to me. Again, they say that even its terminology are strikingly prophetic of later Christian thought. Well, it's not too prophetic of Christian thought if the Christian writers were referring to the Book of Enoch as they were writing their stories. The Slavonic version, or the Book of the Secrets of Enoch, is thought to have been written somewhat later than the Ethiopic Enoch. Scholars place it within the first half of the first century A.D. Again, now we're spanning 300 years. The original was written probably in Greek, although parts of it may have been written in Hebrew. Its content overlaps in good measure the Ethiopic Enoch, but it dwells on Enoch's revelations at greater length and in greater detail. So all of a sudden, because of another writer involved in here, we've got embellishment. They take the basic kernel and they expand it out to be a big story. All right. Continuing, the original was written, in addition, its author or authors reflect the influences of a wider diversification of thought, including Platonic and Zend, the Zend Avesta, and that's Mithraism. And so when we start bringing in the Platonic and the Zend Avesta, bringing in Plato, and hearkening back to Socrates, the man that was comely and or plain and nothing to look at, those sort of same phraseology used with Christ, and that in the beginning was Word or Logic or Reason, you know, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was manifest, made flesh, and walks amongst us. Well, you could say some of that about, you know, Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and others. So that's part of a controversy. That controversy, of course, can be found with the Christian right, if you will, the Council for National Policy. You know, they're looking at Genesis, the law, history, Job, Psalms, the prophets, the Gospels, the Acts, and the Epistles, and the Revelation to be the wisdom of God and that which we should actually live by. And they're absolutely opposed to the other side of the coin that they call the other side of the coin, and that is the humanist teachings, right? But unfortunately for them, apparently, they fail to understand that the greatest humanists of all are the reformers that brought us the Reformation, and it was out of the Reformation that the split between Catholicism and the Protestant came into existence. And it's difficult to stand and say that you're a Protestant in the Council of National Policy and eschew all things humanist because you have just condemned the very founders of your faith. No. Go into another bit in the last moments. I'm not going to go too far into this. I want to save more of this for the next time. But there is this other idea that's laying out here in all of these scriptures and all of these writings. And that is this notion of the future life. You know, we hear about reincarnation, you know, coming back, being born again, all that born again Christian, reincarnated and reincarnation in general. And you can find it in all the Hindus and the Hebrews and all that. They're all out there. The purpose of this, future life, the purpose of this article, again, right out of the Encyclopedia Americana, 1951, the purpose of this article, and certainly this article is written much earlier than that. There are very few references any later than the 1930s. The purpose of this article is not to discuss the varying conceptions of a future life which have been believed and taught through the many generations of human existence. All right, should we say that again? The purpose of this article is not to discuss the varying conceptions of a future life which have been believed and taught through the many generations of human existence. It's an ideal situation for the controllers, whomever they may be, on this planet at whatever time of man. It is exceedingly useful for this concept of the future life to be inculcated in the people. Always looking forward to a brighter day. You know, there's a better day a-coming, right? And that means if there's a better day a-coming, then you're willing to suffer the abuses while the abuses are yet sufferable. And so you're always looking for redemption. You're always looking for salvation in the future as opposed to working for it now. Instead of becoming vocal local and blocking the globalist agenda right where you are in present time today, you're looking for that time in the future, you know, when the Rose of Sharon will bloom again. Next year in Israel. What about this year in America? The purpose, again, of this article is not to discuss the varying conceptions of a future life, so on and so forth. It is not an attempt to trace the history or the development of the doctrine of a future life. It is no part of the plan to prove or disprove the matter or the continued existence after death or any particular theory thereof, nor to disclose the ground on which this or these beliefs has been built. All that is attempted is to present as fully as space will allow a summary of this belief as held and expressed by fairly representative minds in all generations. In all generations. And what the author is going to do, he's going to bring out quotations throughout time, recorded history, the written word, from old, ancient to modern, relatively, in comparison to the time this article was written, of all of the various manifestations of this future life dream that man has. He's always looking till tomorrow. But as they say, don't put off until tomorrow to do something you could do today. Because if you do it today and you like it, you still have an opportunity to do it again tomorrow. Should you wake up and be part of tomorrow. To record every shade of difference or to quote from authorities in each of the different religious movements is impossible on account of the length to which this article would run. And that will take up tomorrow. I thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this broadcast. I'll be back again then. Hope you will be too. And until then, good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Self-expression through creative art is often one of the best forms of therapy. The act of creating, whether by painting, drawing, writing, or performing, allows many people to have an outlet for their talents or discover a new one that they can use to express their emotions when they don't know where else to find support. Empower Yourself is a new online community that allows people struggling with addiction, health issues, parenting, relationships, and more to find support through creative and expressive means. At Empower Yourself, you can share your problems and your creativity with like-minded people. Let Empower Yourself help you grow as an artist, writer, or performer, and at the same time, grow as a person. You can showcase your creations, discuss books, poetry, prose, movies, theater, and find and offer solutions and suggestions for health issues affecting the body and mind. Visit us at empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. That's empoweryourself.myfreeforum.org. Empower Yourself, empowering individuals to take control of their own lives.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
The home of cutting edge talk radio. Online. Worldwide. At OracleBroadcasting.com.